Happy Friday, Plant City. I'm Justin Klein, she's Brianne Williams, and we'd like to welcome you back to the 6 Feet Apart cast. The Plant City Observer is bringing you the latest on all things COVID-19 around our area week after week. And just to let you all know in advance, Paul Conley with the Plant City Family YMCA is now going to be on next Friday's show with us. So this week, you're stuck with Bri and I. Anyway, let's start with the news from this week's EPG meetings. What did we learn, Bri?
Yeah, so each week we start off this podcast with a quick recap of COVID-19 news that's the most impactful for Plant City, and usually that means I go over what the latest changes from the emergency policy group are for Hillsborough County, but this week it's going to be a little different. We're going to start with the reopening plan for Florida that Governor Ron DeSantis has kind of started to outline. So essentially, DeSantis is apparently going to stick to his step-by-step approach for the state. That means that in phase one, which is going to go into effect on Monday, restaurants and retail spaces are going to be able to let people inside, but only at a 25% capacity, and they have to stick to those social distancing guidelines from the CDC. And if restaurants have outdoor seating available, they're allowed to offer that as long as the tables are the 6 feet apart, so they also kind of comply. Another big change is that people are allowed to start scheduling non-urgent surgeries again, but ultimately that's going to be up to the hospital's ability to handle the cases and the availability of the PPEs, the personal protective equipments that they have. Bars, gyms, fitness centers, movie theaters, nail parlors, hair salons, other personal services, those are going to reopen eventually, but they're not in phase one. So we're kind of waiting to see what is going to happen in the future with that. But three counties in the state, Broward, Palm Beach, and Miami-Dade, are not opening yet because they were the hardest hit by COVID-19. So DeSantis wanted to kind of keep them under lockdown a little longer. DeSantis still called for masks to be used for face-to-face businesses. And that's a call that will probably be echoed for quite some time. I had a reader email me this week saying they had just found someone who was selling masks, but they weren't sure if it was too late to order them. And it's a tricky subject, but in my personal opinion, which is all I can offer, just based on the talk I've been hearing at the government meetings we cover and from business owners around town that we've kind of been speaking with, I don't think the return to a fully open, non-face covering society will be coming anytime soon, or at the very least, it shouldn't. If you have your mask, keep them. If you don't and you're still looking at buying them, follow your gut. As we've been repeatedly hearing from all levels, there will more than likely be a second wave. The question right now is simply when and how bad will it be? If people continue to practice safe social distancing and if they continue to use protection like the face coverings and washing their hands a lot, then we're going to go a long way in keeping the virus from a massive return. So I support continuing with that. That's not required. It's going to be your decision. When the topic of reopening came up in Thursday's EPG meeting, there was a lot of talk about cutting through the confusion and making sure that the public knew what was expected of them. Several members repeatedly were blaming media outlets for misinterpreting the decisions of local officials and causing further confusion for residents. So the topic of reopening really was just centered predominantly on clearing the EPG's position up, because DeSantis's new order that, you know, the order that's going to partially reopen the state, it comes into effect on Monday. So school board chairwoman Melissa Snively recommended that the EPG vote to rescind its county's safer at home order effective midnight on Monday. So if we pull ours back at midnight at 12:01 a.m. on Monday, the governor's order is going to completely take over and be the only one in place. And Plant City Mayor Rick Lott, he agreed with Snively and said there was no point in having a redundant order. It's something he has said repeatedly as we have come up with issues that he's felt have been redundant with what the governor's doing. So to clarify, the county has never been able to do anything that goes against the governor's wishes, and thus they've always been in line with what the governor proposed. This position was just to kind of polish their stance up, because people are really confused about that and they want the public to see that this is exactly what they're supposed to do. Tampa Mayor Jane Castor was the only person on the 8-member group to vote no to rescinding our order at midnight on Monday. She said she didn't see the point in rescinding the order when the county might need it later to tighten up restrictions in the future if something were to happen. So far, our governor has worked with, these are my ground rules. Local governments have to abide by that. But if they see positions that they kind of want to make a little bit stricter, they're allowed to do that. So that's what she was referring to. She said the orders were not in conflict. So the suggestion to get rid of ours was, and this is a quote, perplexing. So what does all of that mean? If you watch the EPG meeting on the Hillsborough County Facebook or YouTube page, you're probably going to walk away far more confused than you were before because, to be completely frank, several of the leaders didn't seem to understand what their fellow members were suggesting and saying, and there was a lot of crosstalk and repetitive statements and over-clarifying to the point that it became more confused again, and eventually it was all cleared up, but you really have to just buckle in if you're gonna give that video a go. I always support getting the news firsthand, so if you want to go watch it, go for it, but here's the gist of what happened. Go about your life as normal until 12:01 a.m. on Monday, and then listen to the governor. If you want to risk going into a restaurant or a store, technically, as of 12:01 a.m. on Monday, you can, though they're both going to look a lot different now than they did before the pandemic hit because there's still kind of guidelines they have to meet. If you've been putting off a surgery but want to get it scheduled, go ahead and call your doctor. Keep social distancing as much as you can. Wear your mask in public if you have one. And if you feel sick, for the love of God, stay home. And when the governor feels it's time for phase two, he will announce the next steps of the plan along with what will open then. This is a very vague start, but it's a start we've all been waiting for. So now we're just kind of sitting down and figuring out how's this going to look and how will the community respond to it. So yeah, that's a quick update on where we are at.
And it's totally up to the restaurants if they want to open the dining rooms at all, correct?
Yeah, they definitely don't have to. And just from what I've been seeing on social media, more so in Tampa and St. Pete, where there are a lot more restaurants that have a larger outdoor seating area. Some restaurants are going to continue to just be takeout and delivery. Some are saying, well, we might open the patio, we might open our deck, but I don't think we're going to have people inside the restaurant. And some are welcoming the chance to get to open the dining rooms again. So I can't guarantee your favorite restaurant's going to be open, but technically they can start going through that process now if they want.
It's honestly kind of hard for me to blame any restaurant either way. If you need to reopen your dining room, even at 25% capacity, a lot of the restaurants and owners that we've talked to have said that this has taken a big hit on their business. They're, you know, pulling in about half or even less than half of the revenue they normally would. So if you need to make up that lost revenue, this is one way to do it, and that would probably help some businesses stay open longer. On the other hand, you have all these very real, legitimate concerns about the virus, your workers getting infected, things like that. So on that note, it's, again, hard to blame you if you want to keep the dining room closed, no matter how high customer demand might be. It's kind of a double-edged sword, if there ever was one, right?
Yeah, and I'm really interested to see, specifically here in Plant City, what the customer demand is going to be like. Are people ready to run back and take their family out to dinner, or are they going to kind of wait and play it safe? So all we can do is wait and see.
We're definitely going to be keeping an eye on that as time goes on and see what these restaurants are up to. So we're going to move on now to the talk of the town. As we just talked about this week, phase one of Governor DeSantis's baby steps idea happened. And even though everything was pretty clear cut by Wednesday night, Thursday morning, we still wanted to get your thoughts. We want to know what you think or thought the first steps should be, the first things that should open up, first things the governor should do. We got on Facebook and we asked you, and here's what you had to say. I apologize in advance if I mess your name up. Beauty shops, barbershops, things like that, nail salons, techs, what have you. That was actually a very popular answer among Facebook users. So the first couple that we have for you today are centered around that. Meg Scott said, beauty shops and barbershops, one customer allowed at a time. Nobody has cleaner hands than hairdressers who wash hair all day, and he/she can wear a little mask if they like. I can too. It's a small thing to do if it keeps others safe. The mask thing for the person in the chair, in my opinion, is going to be a little bit tricky since you got to go around the ear sometimes. Maybe more so in men's cuts than some women's cuts. I don't know. I'm not a woman, obviously. I've never got my hair done like that, but I like to get a fade myself, so I would definitely have to like hold the mask over my face in some way, but I can't touch the front of it because apparently that's a no-no. So that's the one thing that needs to be clarified before the shops open up, but there's got to be a way to do it. Anyway, back at it. Crystal Creel Butler. I almost said Crystal Clear Butler. I didn't mess one up on purpose, but I apologize. Crystal Creel Butler said, "Beauty and barbershops, enough is enough. We need to work, and we are trained in sanitation." So now you have the stylist perspective. Lisa Ussery said, "People have had weeks of coaching on how to protect themselves and others. It is time to open businesses." And the counterpoint here from Alexandra Forrest is, "You guys go first, I'll stay home." Crystal Johnson was in favor of opening campgrounds. Jane W. Papel said, "My suggestion is to be very cautious in all areas. People have not followed the rules even under stay at home. What makes you think they will follow any new rules?" I went out to Greenwise in Lakeland the other day, and I was the only person in that whole store who did not work there who was wearing a mask. Yet I go to Plant City and I go to Walgreens, and I am not the only person in there wearing a mask that wasn't working there. It's a weird... Does Plant City get it better than Lakeland does? I don't know what the deal there is, but hey, go us. We're doing better than those guys over there in Polk County, apparently. Anyway, Mara Samantha Burke, she said, "Our state should have different opening plans for different cities depending on the number of cases in those cities. If Lakeland has over 100 cases, they should delay their opening plans. Smaller cities like Plant City, which do not have high numbers of COVID-19 patients, should broaden the types of businesses able to operate while using social distancing measures. Citizens within those cities should stick to their home areas and not venture into high-risk city zones." Terry Guthrie Alderman said, "The first thing that should reopen is the Florida governor's mansion." And Stephanie Renner Holbrook said, "It doesn't need to be baby steps. The quicker, the better." So there's a little bit of back and forth here between the people who think we're ready right now, let's just go, and the people who are still trying to be extremely cautious about this. But overall, at least last I checked, I think more people were in favor of getting back to business than not. And I'm not trying to endorse one thing over the other. Just that was the general consensus among people, or the split. Once again, it's time for the Introvert's Guide to Self-Isolation, where a couple of introverts, Brianna and myself, try to help you not go stir crazy in your own home. So I usually go about a month or so between haircuts, and I got my last one literally right before they gave the order to shut down all the barbershops, hair salons, etc. back in March. I wouldn't call my hair super wild right now, but it's much longer than I like for it to be. I'm not one of those people demanding that we go back to normal right now, open everything up to 100% capacity with no mask requirements and hope people's common sense prevails, which wishfully thinking that's a good idea because you would hope everybody has common sense. But I think if we should learn anything from living more than, say, being born yesterday in life, not everybody has common sense, and not everybody who thinks they have common sense actually has common sense. If I were a betting man, I'd say Florida's phase two is when they're going to reopen the hair joints with heavy restrictions, maybe some things like Meg Scott talked about earlier. We obviously don't know when that's going to be, but man, I am getting anxious about what my hair is going to look like pretty soon. I'm kind of getting in this phase right now where it's like an investment banker or something like that, which is really not my style. I was never good with numbers, and that's not really the life I want to live. So if you can't wait to get in the barbershop or you see your hairstylist, if you're just like right on the verge of going, now might be a good time to try something yourself. And I'm talking low maintenance stuff. I have a lot of friends and some relatives who work in the hair business, and I don't want to see them keep losing out on money any longer than they have to. They're hurting right now. So I'm encouraging anyone who's this close to getting a DIY home haircut to do something manageable with it, like something you can get in the interim that's not as annoying as what you have now, where my hair is like starting to peek over my ears a little bit and part in places I don't want it to, but also not short enough that your barber or stylist would have nothing to work with if they were to reopen in a few weeks. Maybe you have to go in there wearing a mask, and just give them something to work with whenever they reopen back up again. Y'all who look good, bald, or with buzz cuts are pretty lucky there, because the rest of us, not so much. So if you're quarantining right now with a family member, a significant other, or roommate that you trust with these things, now is not a bad time for the two of you to hop on YouTube and look at some tutorials for easier cuts. Nothing crazy like any fades with hard parts, designs, things like that. Crew cut, maybe a quick trim, something like that. Don't try bangs. Apparently it doesn't go so well. If you live with a stylist or barber, I'm really jealous of you. If you live by yourself, there are a ton of self-cut tutorials on YouTube, and they all require a hand mirror. You might be able to pull it off. I don't have steady hands, so I'm not trying to jack my own head up, even though I'm inside a lot more often than I normally would be, and far fewer people than usual are going to see me if I accidentally give myself a mullet. So that's actually why I have the quarantine mustache right now. I had this grand plan of bringing my beard back in all its glory and growing it out until we can all go out and enjoy ourselves again, whenever it would be. So maybe I'd have something that's, you know, kind of long, whatever. Like, I always definitely been inside a lot, or maybe it'd be like a year from now. Hopefully not. And I'd have this like braided Viking beard, just look super powerful. Whatever it was, I was going to grow it out. But then I tried to give my beard an edge up the other week because the cheeks were getting a little ragged and I misjudged the line on one of them. So it got uneven to the point where there was no way I could just leave it. And rather than like get a line beard or just go for something wild, I decided that I might as well get rid of everything but the stash. So as someone who just had to try something out of necessity and it actually worked, if you've wanted to try something new with your facial hair for a little while, whether you just want to do it or you messed it up like I did, now's a good time to go for it. And if you really jack it up, you always have a face mask you can wear, cover it up. I'm keeping my mustache pretty neat and groomed. I'm going for something a little bit closer to like Tom Selleck than Sam Elliott, but I still kind of look like the last thing that a craft beer sees before it dies. I can live with that. And I kind of like to think that maybe my mustache is going to be a source of power to me. Not quite getting dad strength, but still maybe something like Samson's hair or Anthony Davis's unibrow that makes me go a little bit harder in my workouts and whatever I do. Because I really like this. And also, it's going to influence my Halloween plan. So really, it was a happy accident. So that's why I'm very pro mess with your facial hair right now, because you never know what you're going to get, and you might get something that inspires you in some way. Not to give our Halloween plans away, but Bree and I did Wayne and Garth from Wayne's World this past Halloween. It went really well. We have a plan for this coming up Halloween, whether we can go out and enjoy ourselves or not. And I don't know about you, but I am extremely stoked for this. This might be my favorite Halloween costume ever. If you like the Muppets, you will love what we're going to do. I'll say that. Anyway, what about you, Bree? What do you got for the guide this week?
Okay, so I will be completely honest with you. This week has been activity-wise one of my slowest thus far. I've basically been working a lot, playing Red Dead, reading a few books, and catching up on my shows. But sidebar, Assassin's Creed has been 99.9% of what I've been thinking about thanks to the new Valhalla trailer. I've never been more excited for the holidays. If you love history and video games and you want to have your life changed, this might be the game to do it. Assassin's Creed Odyssey was the video game that completely solidified my addiction. You're the one that brought it into my life. Thank you for that suggestion.
I'll take the credit.
I cannot wait for this. Oh my God, it's going to be amazing. But anyway, back on track with the 0.01% of my brain that was not thinking about the new trailer. I was kind of trying to figure out what to talk about, and I went back and forth over recommendations, and then suddenly it clicked. One business in town recently has really inspired us on how to do isolation right. So Roots Taproom and Wine Bar on Ever Street downtown, it's one of our favorite places. Justin can vouch for that.
Yeah.
We absolutely love it. But if you haven't been, when all this is over, you gotta go. But obviously bars are they're closed for now, so they've adapted to help give the people what they want, which is high quality wine. And they're selling bottles of some of their customer favorites for you to take home with you. So recently they got these cool tote bags that like have their logo on it. So if you pop in, you can buy 4 bottles and get the tote free, which, you know, that was a pretty cool idea. But then like a day later, I saw on social media that they had an even more exciting offer. So Roots is helping you have a wine and dine night with very little work on your end, which I am all about. So if you want to have a super cute date night or a fun night in with your roommate or whoever you are sheltering through this storm with, you can go to Roots and pick up their date night bag. They've partnered with the Corner Store in Plant City and Rayburn Winery to put these packages together. So for $75, you're getting a bottle of Rayburn Pinot and a bottle of Rayburn Chardonnay. You get tasting notes for both wines, which I thought was really cool. I really love that idea. And then you get a charcuterie platter and the wine tote. So it's easy for you to take around. So anyone who knows me can attest to the fact that I love charcuterie. I literally have a drawer filled with nothing but cheese in my fridge, and I keep lots of sliced or dried meats and fruit around in case I get too tired or lazy to cook and I just want to throw a small board together for myself. So when I saw that, I was 100% on board. It's genius. And if you want to surprise someone you care about with a creative night in without doing a lot of work, like, you can literally just pick out a movie to stream, which honestly, that will be the most work because it takes me forever to find anything. You pick out a movie to stream, whip out this cool wine and charcuterie setup, light a few candles, and if you really want to up the game, you can change out of your pajamas and put on slacks or jeans and a nicer shirt, and bam, you've just pulled off a massive feat that looks like it took you far longer to do than it really did. So that's my suggestion this week. Treat whoever you are, you know, isolating with. I live with a, you know, my roommate's a dog, so she's not going to be a part of this, but I'm sure she'll encourage me in theory. And
yeah, she'll encourage you to give her some of the cheese is what she's going to do.
She'll do her best. I hope she fails. Quick reminder, though, for those that are listening, Mother's Day is right around the corner. So if you haven't finalized your plans yet, pick up a paper or head to plantcityobserver.com and check out the article we have written up with loads of advice on how to pull this off during a pandemic. I really love holidays because I love giving to people I care about and planning more than just like gifts, but planning like a day of things to do or like plan a cool activity they like. So this has really been stressing me out, but I think we have some good ideas rounded up. So go check that out. Do not forget about Mother's Day. I know time is not something any of us have a grasp on right now, but it's like a little over a week away. So buckle in, people. Let's do this.
Having seen the cheese drawer in the fridge myself, I can vouch for it being a thing that exists. Some of my favorite people in the world are people who can accurately put me on to whatever my new favorite thing is going to be. My favorite bartenders are the ones who know me well enough to say, okay, here, I'm going to pour this beer for you, drink it, you're going to love it. And I do. This is how I'm getting into wine as well. So there are a few people in my life who are putting me on to really good wines, and I'm digging this now. A good barber will know exactly what kind of haircut you should get, not to keep pounding on this one point, but whatever. Brie put me on to my favorite cheese in the whole world, and it came straight from the cheese drawer, not the trees drawer, the cheese drawer. It is, I don't know, what's the brand name again? The Merlot, the purple rind.
One sec.
Whatever it is, it's a Publix. It has a purple rind. It's not super expensive, and it tastes amazing. So if you need any cheese recommendations, you can email Brianne at her work email, and I'm sure she'd be happy to accommodate you.
Okay, I'm back. It's a Merlot Bellavitino cheese. It has a purple rind to it you can eat, and it is at Publix. It's at the Publix here in Plant City by Thanota Sassa. I've not seen it at the one on Redmond, but that doesn't mean it's there. And if you go to the Greenwise that you were talking about earlier, they have, oh my God, they have so much of it in a lot larger chunks than you can find here. So 10 out of 10 support that.
Excellent cheese. Highly recommend. So, okay. Last things last, we're going to look for the helpers. It's Positive Vibes Only in this little corner of the show. And once again, I'm going to ask all of you listeners out there to keep us in the loop with positive news and uplifting stories for us to talk about here on the podcast. Maybe we'll even write about it. Who knows? So you go first. What made you happy this week?
All right, so this week I am going to highlight the Wooden Spoon Diner on Collins Street. They have been giving out loads of food to show their appreciation and support to the community. And I mean, I'm just going to share a very small portion of it. But yesterday they brought breakfast that they had made to all 55 employees at the local post office. And then They followed it up by making lunch and delivering it to all of the employees at City Hall. And on April 26th, they teamed up with the Rotech Healthcare Inc., which is based out of Lakeland. And they fed all of the employees, the frontliners at Lakeland Regional Hospital. And then on April 24th, they brought meals to PCPD. So just scroll through their social media and you will see the list go on. And if you haven't eaten there before, go to their Facebook page, check them out. Jess and I have both gotten to know the owner a bit through articles we've done, and he really cares about the community, and that's something he has just repeatedly stressed to both of us. So it wasn't shocking at all to see that he's gone and led his team to do this, but because of who he is, I mean, the dude really doesn't advertise it all that much. He'll throw it up on his social and that's kind of the end of it, because he's a super humble and really, really cool guy. So yeah, I just wanted to give them a shout out, because that was really cool to see.
I know that's not the kind of establishment you'd expect to get really good seafood at, being a diner and whatnot that focuses on breakfast, and that's a big thing of why they got known for, but take my word for this, I have never had a better crab cake in my life than the one at the Wooden Spoon. Never. And I've had a lot of crab cakes. I love seafood. Manny definitely knows what he's doing in the kitchen. I highly recommend it. So I first went there back in January when they first opened. I had a few meals there. I wrote a story about it for In the Field magazine. I got to know Manny a little bit, and he really didn't waste any time embedding himself in the Plant City community. And knowing how big Plant City is on community service, giving back, things like that, I think it's a really good fit. Anyway, speaking of food, here's my entry for Look for the Helpers for this week. I'm going to give you guys a preview, actually, of a story that I'm working on for next week's issue, because I think it fits here. So a lot of people who are at high risk of COVID-19 seriously messing their lives up need help getting food and other things they're not able to go get on their own right now. So that's where Meals on Wheels comes in, and they're still going strong right now. The drivers, who are all volunteers, by the way, are able to make a lot of stops without going inside anybody's house or making physical contact, but I have been told that there are, in fact, a few stops where the drivers have to go in and they have to physically interact with a client who might have trouble moving around, or maybe they fell, something like that. Say what you will about infection numbers in our little neck of Hillsborough County, it's still pretty gutsy to volunteer your time to go do that every single week. So I think the men and women of Meals on Wheels Plant City, who were volunteering to help keep everybody fed at this time every week, I think they deserve a little bit of credit for taking the initiative. And speaking of which, since we're on the subject of looking for the helpers, if you read the paper this week or went online, you might have noticed something new that we're doing. I believe we've called it Who's Your Hero? Well, we're looking for anybody out there who has a hero in their life to share with us. If you picked up this week's paper, for example, you saw Maggie Henn on the cover. Maggie, as you may or may not know, is working as a disaster nurse in New York City right now, treating people who are fighting COVID-19. And it's an incredible story. She's chronicling her adventures in New York City, her experiences treating people on social media. You should go check that out. But you know, not all heroes wear capes. I think quarantine showed a lot of people who didn't already realize it, that many of the workers that, you know, we might have otherwise taken for granted because of their jobs in a normal time are actually essential for keeping us going. You know, grocery store employees are dealing with a ton of chaos and trying to help people get what they need right now. Fast food workers or the restaurant workers, they're keeping us all fed. Truckers are putting in countless hours getting important goods and products from one end of the country to the other. Warehouse workers are doing their best to make sure that everything you order online from Amazon or whatever gets delivered to you, even when a lot of their working conditions are far from ideal right now. I could keep going, but I've got a plug to finish. We want to give these folks, these otherwise regular folks who many people have learned really are crucial to us functioning the way we do, well, we want to give all these people a shout out just as much as we'd like to honor anybody else. I need these healthcare providers, workers, first responders, anybody else who's dealing with pandemic life on the front lines right now. We want to shout all these people out no matter what they're doing, as long as they're inspiring somebody else. If they're your hero, we'd love to hear about it. So all we need is a photo of your hero, or maybe it's several people at once. We did have one submission of three kids from a mother this week. We just need their photos, their names, and a little blurb about what they do and why they're your heroes. You can send them all to our managing editor, Sarah Holt. Her email is Schult, That's Sholt at plantcityobserver.com. Again, Sholt at plantcityobserver.com. Well, it's going to do it for our show this week. Thanks again for tuning in, as always. And, well, you all stay safe out there, Plant City.